The First of a Dynasty by Emperor Mercalis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on The Owl House by Dana Terrace. Chapter 1. Bang. Amity Blight Nosida carefully and slowly looked up from her book. The cottage hearth fire blazed fiercely in her wife's eyes. They were lovely eyes, always wide open, taking in the entire world and reflecting it right back. In quiet moments, Amity can see in those eyes the young, almost irritatingly exuberant girl she had met at school all those years before. There was, in those quiet moments, a softness to those eyes, a contentment simply to be, a happiness that a young, stifled Amity had fallen in love with. Bang. This moment, however, was not quiet. In this moment, the eyes into which Amity gazed belonged not to a 14-year-old human girl exploring the demon realm for the first wonderful time, but to Lus Nosida, Empress of the Boiling Isles, savior of witches and demons, vanquisher of the Collector, and deposer of the tyrant and false prophet, Belos. 10 years she had worn those titles, and to some people, that was 10 years too long. Bang! Wordlessly, Amity and Luce closed their books and stood up. They walked to the coat rack to retrieve their cloaks, donning them without a word as magical spells continued to shell their summer home. Bang! Amity opened the door and Luce, in her flowing white cloak fringed with gold, walked out of the study swiftly and silently. Bang! Walking down the hallway, Amity picked up the crow phone off of its holder as she passed by the table on which it stood, dialing the number of Willow's crow phone. Bang! That better not have ruined the stuccos on the east wing, thought Amity with a frown. I just had those refurbished. Shaking her head, she brought the crow up to her ear.
Amity?
A groggy Willow replied.
This had better not be able to wait. Hunter and I finally managed to get Jacob to sleep.
I'm sorry to hear that, but you're both needed in the council room. Emergency meeting.
Gotcha. We'll be at the castle in 10 minutes.
Thank you. Bang.
Well, I bet you're glad that you upgraded those force fields, aren't you? It's almost like my suspicions that the enemy might discover where you were vacationing were not unfounded.
Quipped Willow, smugness lacing her words. You don't have to rub it in that you were right, Amity replied with a morbid chuckle. How many nights of babysitting till we bed again? Bang.
3, and you can't pawn Jacob and Daniel off on Luce.
I wouldn't dream of it. All right, well, we're about to enter the portal, so I'll see you at the council meeting.
Bye, Amity.
Goodbye, Willow. At the end of the hallway stood a shimmering golden doorway, reminiscent of the one that had led to Luce stampeding into the Boiling Isles and, more importantly, her life. Without hesitation, without slowing down, Amity and Luce walked through the portal, cutting off the sound of another spell blasting into their cottage. Stepping through the portal, the environment shifted from a rustic cottage to a drab stone chamber lit with torches. A man in a white cloak, wearing a gray-beaked mask, saluted them.
Your Majesties, I hope you had a pleasant night.
Unfortunately, we did not, Captain Wilston, said Amity, not looking at the guard, but instead turning around to close the portal. It seems that our location was leaked. Amity then tossed the portal key and crowphone to Captain Wilston. Please gather a team and head back through the portal to arrest the assailants and have them sent to the conformatorium. Also, the Pox are on their way, but could you please have someone summon the rest of the Coven heads to the council room?
At once, replied Captain Wilston,
who immediately whisked himself away. What followed was a silent walk through the castle. The hundreds of tapestries, murals, and stained glass windows depicting the history of the isles that lined the walls were all ignored as Amity and Luce headed deeper into the castle. Coming up upon a set of double doors emblazoned with a 2-meter-wide glyph combination, Lus Nosida, not slowing down, tapped the light glyph in the center and the door swung open. At the center of the room sat a circular table with 11 seats encircling it, 10 of which had a coven symbol painted onto their backs. Walking to her seat, Amity let her hand graze the pink abomination brand on its wooden back.
Head of the abomination coven, thought Amity, closing her eyes solemnly. If only Dad could see me now.
Opening her eyes, Amity's gaze shifted to the ornate, gold-fringed chair to her left, Lucis' chair, and to the emblem on its back.
I wonder how King would have reacted if he had learned that Luce made the Titan's skull her family crest,
Amity mused while she took her seat. It was only a few minutes before Captain Wilston called Luce to inform her that the cottage had been destroyed.
When we opened the portal, rubble just came tumbling out. My team is almost done clearing out a path through the rubble so we can arrest the insurgents, but I worry that they may have already fled the scene, Your Majesty.
Continue regardless. If there's even the slightest chance that they can be arrested tonight, then we have to try, Luce commanded.
Understood, Your Majesty.
Minutes passed after that call without a word spoken until, to Amity's surprise, Luce turned to Amity, a dull pain in her eyes, and said,
I'm sorry that we had to head back early, Hermosa. I know how hard you've been working. You deserve better than this.
Don't say things like that, Luce. There's nowhere that I will ever want to be more than by your side.
Thanks, Hermosa. I don't know what I would do without you.
Or are you, Batata? Replied Amity, leaning in to kiss Luce. I hope we're not interrupting anything, Hunter interrupted with a smirk, as he and Willow entered the council chamber.
Of course you aren't interrupting, Hunter, Amity replied unfazed, though I would like to know how the location of my wife's summer home, which the two of us only ever enter by portal, was somehow tracked down and assaulted with a spell barrage.
Hunter's eyes, which sported deeper bags below them than usual, hardened.
It shouldn't have been possible. Only the council and top coven officials were privy to that information. And yet here we are, back in the castle, mere hours into our weekend getaway, having escaped an assassination attempt, responded Amity. What I want to know is how that information made its way into the rebellion, and how soon will the people responsible be locked away in the conformatorium for the rest of their lives?
Do we have any leads on how the information got to the rebels? Inquired Willow.
Given that the attack occurred mere minutes ago, I haven't exactly had time to look into the matter yet, have I? Snapped Amity.
Hey, don't bark at me, scowled Willow. I'm just trying to help.
I know. Amity rubbed her temples. I know you are, I'm sorry. I'm just stressed out right now.
Preaching to the choir here, muttered Hunter. Surprising everyone, Luce spoke up, her eyes tinged with concern.
Is Jacob really that bad?
Of course not, Luce, reassured Willow. It's just that Jacob isn't quite the deep sleeper that his older brother was when he was Jacob's age, and Hunter's body is throwing a bit of a protest at the lack of sleep.
I can't believe I used to function on only 4 hours of sleep.
It's a wonder indeed,
said Willow, who gave Hunter's hand a reassuring squeeze. A few minutes later, the remaining council members began trickling in. Once the last coven head had taken their seat, Luce tapped a plant glyph against the table, causing a massive vine to burst forth from the stonework behind her. The looming mass reached across the council room and slammed the door shut before withering away. The gaze of Luce Noceda, Empress of the Boiling Isles, swept across the council. Eyes of steel, framed by caramel skin, bored into the witches assembled before her. This war has gone on for far too long. It's time to bring peace to my empire. Approximately 15 minutes ago, a surprise attack was launched on my summer residence. While not confirmed, the likelihood of this being the responsibility of insurgents is high. As such, I am proposing the distribution and mandatory use of spell and location logging bracelets alongside the implementation of a program of spell auditors to monitor for suspicious behavior. Augustus Gus Porter, head of the Illusion Coven, remarked, Should I also hand the insurgents their next propaganda campaign? Because that's what this scheme will amount to. Hunter added, I have to agree with Porter on that. Our support amongst the people is already slipping, and I can't imagine this action being painted as anything other than a step towards the reintroduction of coven brands. Basha huffed.
We don't need bracelets or brands. Give me the word, Empress, and I can have the factory synthesizing truth potion within the week.
The outrage was immediate.
We'd be descending back into barbarism. You've gone too far, Basha.
Amity Blight Noceda slammed her fist down on the table.
Do you want us to return to the days of Belos? Because that's what it sounds like, Hollowleaf.
Difficult times require tough choices, shrugged Basha,
a nonchalant tone infused into her words. Hunter glared.
Be careful with what you say, Hollowleaf,
to which Basha raised 2 of 3 eyebrows.
Oh, and how about you be a bit more specific when you're threatening me, Whittabit?
Thick, fibrous vines shot out from across the table and coiled around the potion coven head, hoisting the offending potion maker high up off the ground.
His name is Park, you three-eyed banshee,
bellowed Willow, her narrowed, furious eyes a solid, luminous green.
Call him by the name of that tyrant one more time. I dare you.
The barred coven chair crashed against the floor, shoved out of the way by its occupant, who stood up with a righteous fury.
Unhand my wife right now, Willow!
Screamed Skarna, whipping out her viola and summoning her bow.
I won't ask again! Enough!
Screamed the Empress, who stretched out her right hands to summon her staff, as an otter scurried out from under her cloak and jumped up to her master's hand. The mahogany-colored staff finished elongating before it reached Luce's hand. At the same time, with her left hand, Luce pulled out a card emblazoned with an intricate glyph combination from one of several clips attached to her belt, before immediately throwing the card to the ground and slamming the bottom of her staff on the card with a deafening crack, activating the glyph. Simultaneously, the arguing coven heads were lifted in golden orbs, joining Basha and being ignominiously suspended several feet off the ground. Clenching her staff tighter, the Empress breathed in audibly before exhaling just as forcefully.
We seem to have gotten ourselves off track. If we could please return to discussing the agenda as civilized people, that would be lovely.
Having calmed down, Luce dispelled the levitation spell, and the now grounded coven heads began to sit back down.
Oh, and Basha,
Luce addressed the ruffled potions coven head.
Hmm?
A now unkempt, disgruntled Basha huffed.
If you make such an obscene request again, Luce hissed, ice in her words, I will need to find a new coven head. Are we clear?
Basha blanched, her normally vibrant skin turning a sickly, pale hue.
Of course, Empress,
stammered Basha, leaning forward in a deep bow.
I merely meant to aid you in bringing peace to the Isles.
I will not allow peace to come at the price of the Isles backsliding back into the tyranny of Belos, Luce asserted, the cold fury smoldering in her eyes slowly fizzling away. Luce dusted off her cloak, feeling herself calm down as her fingers ran across the fine threads of her stark white cloak and its shimmering gold fringes. Luce couldn't remember when she had picked up this habit.
Was it before or after Ida left?
Luce pondered, trying to recall what happened during those early years of chaos after the Collector was defeated.
No, wait, wasn't it during the Siege of the Right Palm? Titan, that was a bloodbath. I bet the ground there still reeks of iron.
Unable to remember when she learned this particular de-stressing tactic, she elected to return to the matter at hand.
While we've managed to bring order to most of the Isles, the attack on my home once again demonstrates that there are those within the Empire that seek to return us to those anarchic days after we defeated the Collector, and that they have potentially been able to infiltrate high-level positions within the Covens. I will not allow the Isles to once again be divided up by petty warlords because some delusional rebels forgot what happened the last time we trusted the Isles to be able to govern itself.
Luce became briefly somber, her heart having never been able to let go of its fondness for one specific rebel, but quickly regained her composure.
Even if it's not in the form of tracking bracelets, we need to tighten security somehow, or the pacification campaigns on the skull and left arm fronts are at risk of sabotage from within. Let's table the proposal for tracking bracelets, but I need ideas on how to root out whoever is aiding the rebels.
Gus spoke up.
Are we even sure that there is a spy? Perhaps some rebels are using invisibility spells and are just listening in on conversations in person?
Hunter shook his head at that. Not possible. One of our palace men would have sensed someone casting magic.
We could implement memory inspections of suspicious individuals or have patrols of oracles patrolling for rebellious sentiments,
offered Edric Blight.
Isn't that what Mom used to do to us? Asked Amity,
raising an eyebrow.
Yeah, but it kept me and Em from going completely hog wild. I can promise you that if Mom hadn't been scrying on us, the manor would not still be standing. Your pranks still forced us to rebuild the East Wing that one time.
Edric shrugged.
I'm just saying it might be effective.
Amity crossed her arms.
Well, I don't think that we should base our methods of governance on the parenting techniques of Odalia Blight, and I'm surprised that you of all people would suggest that.
Also, we've established that there are likely moles in the government. How will we prevent these patrols from being infiltrated as well?
Scar added.
Why are we worrying about spies?
Interjected Mathalamule, head of the construction coven.
Oh no, muttered Gus.
Despite his long and often confusing friendship with the ex-Galandus witch, Gus was well aware that when it came to anything other than construction, and to a lesser extent illusion, spells, Mathalamule was not known to be particularly capable. Proving Gus's worries correct, Mathalamule, with unearned blustery confidence, continued,
Why focus on spies? I say we just get on with sweeping up the remaining rebel territory. No rebel faction to report to, no danger posed by spies.
Willow couldn't help but roll her eyes when the construction witch spoke.
Oh, of course, let's just win the war. Why didn't we think of that? I know you move rocks all day, but that doesn't mean you should fill your skull with them. Spies might tell the rebels information, which might make victory a tad harder to achieve. Ergo, we should find said spies. Are we clear? Or do I have to use smaller words for you?
Mathalamule huffed.
Fine, fine. You don't have to tug on my tunic, lady.
Willow's eye began to twitch, a sign thankfully noticed by Hunter, who laid his hand reassuringly on her shoulder, saving Luce from having to search for a new head witch of the construction coven. 4 hours later.
You can't say that it might not help to at least try the idea. At the very least, it would be better than us continuing to go in circles for the rest of the day, asserted Amity, whose patience after 4 hours of unproductive debate was beginning to wear thin.
I can assure you that such a plan would cause the skull front to collapse. Those troops are demoralized enough as it is, responded Hunter, the bags under his eyes particularly deep after racking his brain for 4 hours while having not slept in more than a day. Suddenly, Luce's hand went up, and she grunted out,
Enough. We're obviously not going to get anywhere, so let's all leave to brainstorm some ideas and come back at noon tomorrow.
Willow raised an eyebrow at her old friend. It was unlike Luce to want to postpone something. Even as she grew cynical and pessimistic with age, she still preferred to tackle problems vigorously and immediately.
Luce, did you somehow forget your house was attacked? I don't think this can wait.
Luce, clenching her teeth, hissed,
Positive. Everyone please leave immediately.
Gus spoke up.
Are you okay? You don't look so good.
Peachy.
For a few seconds, everyone just stared at Luce, whose face was scrunching up in pain, but not enough to prevent her from barking out,
Leave!
Which caused her to wince. Edric was the first to get up, declaring,
All right, I know when I'm not wanted,
before getting up and heading for the door. The sound of the council chamber doors opening was the impetus that prompted the remainder of the council, barring Amity and Luce, to file out. Gus, the final counselor to leave, paused in the doorway and glanced back at his friend, his empress, with confusion, before departing the council room and closing the large, mahogany-covered doors behind him. The second the doors closed, Amity, shocked and confused, turned on her wife, inquiring,
What in the world just happened? Why did you snap at everyone?
Luce, her face green and cheeks puffed out, grunted,
Because of this.
Before promptly darting over to one of the potted plants in the corner of the room and emptying her guts into it. Amity's face softened as she realized why her wife had behaved so unusually.
You didn't have to expel everyone from the room. I'm sure that they would have understood you having morning sickness.
Luce, face still buried in foliage, shook her head.
No, I told you, we're not telling anyone yet.
Amity kneeled down next to her wife and began reassuringly rubbing her hand over Luce's back, making sure to avoid her scars.
I know you want to make sure the baby is safe, but I think we can trust the council at the very least.
Luce shook her head again.
Not until we find the people who tipped off the rebels.
Amity, taken aback by Luce's words, spluttered,
Surely we can at least tell the council. They're our friends, after all.
Amity paused, thinking of one sycophant in particular.
Well, most of them.
Luce opened her mouth to speak, before closing it and remaining silent for a concerningly long period of time. Amity's eyes widened.
You can't possibly think it's one of them.
Luce opened and closed her mouth a few times, confusion and distress streaking their way across her face, as she searched through her many memories for clues, before quietly muttering,
I can't be sure it isn't.
Remember what Hunter said. Only the council and select few high-ranking officials in each coven knew where we were. Besides, our cottage was far from rebel territory, so it's unlikely that someone just stumbled across it. And even if somebody did, it looks just like any other house. Amity implored her wife, trying to get her to stop heading down this train of thought. That doesn't mean we should begin suspecting our friends, some of whom might as well be family. Luce shook her head once again. I'm not endangering our baby until we have the traitor or traitors in question locked in the conformatorium for the rest of their lives, Luce said, venom laced into her words. Amity was the one to shake her head this time, realizing the futility of the matter. It was nearly impossible to convince Luce otherwise when she had made up her mind. It had once been something she admired about the adorable human.
I wonder what our younger selves would say if they could see us now,
Amity mused.
I imagine every person thinks that at some point when they grow up. At the very least, I hope it doesn't say anything that I'm somewhat glad I'll never have to know the answer to that question. Then again, I could ask one of my memories.
She promptly shuddered, remembering what happened the last time she went memory diving, or rather, what happened right before.
Never again.
All right, but we're not keeping this from the royal physician. I'm not going to let your paranoia keep our baby from getting the medical care they need. Luce rubbed her hand against her mouth, wiping off the stray bits of bile that managed to hang onto her lips and grumbled. Amity stood her ground, crossing her arms and staring pointedly at the stubborn human. It took little time for Luce to crack. While she tended to cling to her positions, it wasn't, by and large, to an unreasonable degree.
Fine.
Now is the baby finally calm, Batata?
Amity asked smugly. Luce smirked, never one to reject a challenge from her wife, and said,
Oh, hermosa, I know that you couldn't possibly have actually been referring to me.
I wouldn't dream of it, Amity responded, chuckling.
Now, I'm feeling a bit tired after all that. Shall we head to bed?
I believe we shall, Luce concluded, hooking her elbow around her wife's, a small smirk still present on her face, along with, to Amity's joy, a glint of contentment in those brown eyes that so easily entranced her.
For the full text of this story, please visit the archive of our own page of Emperor Mercalis. Music by Dot Matrix. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you have enjoyed this story, please visit my website at samgabrielvo.com, where you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.